This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let's get into this, shall we? And I would love to know how you feel as a parent about this particular topic. I would love to know how you feel as a woman about this particular conversation. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong here. It's more of a sense of what do you prefer. But that's just my take. I would love your take on it. Because every year, thousands of young women around South Africa are tested to find out if they are virgins or somebody who has had sexual intercourse. And some respect this as a cultural practice, while others find it as degrading. Now, young girls from the age of about 8 have their bodies expected by older women to ensure that they retain and preserve their youthfulness. A white mark on their foreheads at the end of the ceremony is priceless as it symbolizes that they are still pure. It is an old age or age-old practice known as ukuhlolwa kwentombi. And many cultural experts are saying it should be understood for what it is instead of calling for its total scrapping. It is also important to note the issues of culture are sensitive and emotive and should be used to address with extreme caution. And this is what we're going to be attempting to do this afternoon as we understand ukuhlolwa kwentombi. What was its intention? What was it there for? What does it involve? So according to a lot of research and those that have studied anthropology and those that have attended it, candidates attend a week-long camp where they are taught about maidenhood. And if you're looking at it from a Zulu cultural perspective, they attend this maidenhood before they're tested by elderly women who issue them with maiden certificates if they pass. There was a social anthropologist by the name of Fiona Skurgy who found a number of ways that inspectors claim that they can tell if a girl or woman has not had sexual intercourse. So according to social anthropologist Fiona, they inspect the girl's genitalia visually and sometimes use their hands, right, to see if the hymen is still present. She was saying that according to the inspectors, they also look for tight muscle tone, firm buttocks and breasts, as well as flat abdomen. There have been many conversations around virginity testing and some critics actually saying that it's discriminatory and the methods have got no scientific basis. But what happens if we have to put a mirror on it completely and take it from the side of those that have gone through the process? You know, there's the Child Act or the Children's Act that actually speaks to this one, especially around when virginity testing should happen. How do we preserve the child's rights, right? But have we ever taken a moment to ask ourselves, why is it that every year thousands of these young women actually get tested, except for when there was a COVID-19 hard lockdown? Are they forced to by the community? Do they have a say in the autonomy and the use of their bodies? Or is it indeed culture that as a maiden, you honor yourself and honor your parents and willingly participate in because you believe so intimately in what it has to offer? And I would like to hear your take on virginity testing. Is it misunderstood? Is there room for us to engage with objectivity when it comes to why is it that it's still being done? And maybe I'd ask you as a parent, especially after you hear from our guest this afternoon, would you allow your girl to go through virginity testing? Would you let your daughter go through virginity testing? Or do you find it discriminatory? Let's get into this conversation now. Joining us is Gugulethu Nkosi. Gugulethu has been doing or conducting or going through virginity testing since she was 21 years old. She is now 29. Gugulethu, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Hi, thank you, Faith, for having me. Thank you so much.
We've also got Prince Manene Tabane, who's Gauteng chairperson of Controlesa. Prince Tabane, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Good afternoon, Kulufelo, and to the listeners of Power FM.
Okay, Kulufelo is my producer. You're speaking to Faith now, Prince Tabane.
Excuse me.
It's okay. It's all right. We're still maintaining it in the team. We've also got Sibonakaliso Zakwe. Sibonakaliso has been getting tested since she was 16 years old. And due to, obviously, the lockdown, the practice was not done for about 2 years or so. Sibonakaliso, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
We've also got Kwanele Mbele. Kwanele started getting tested from the age of 9 until now. She's currently 29 years old. Kwanele, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity of being in the show with you guys.
And we've also got Fina Khodisang, who's the CEO of Soul City Institute. Fina, thank you so much for honoring our invitations as always. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you for having me, and good afternoon to everyone.
Perhaps let's kick it off here, and starting off with you, Prince Manene, in terms of being able to give us some kind of cultural context in terms of virginity testing. Why, who, when, and what it's all about. I think more than anything else, if it's a misunderstood practice, it's only right that we start from the premise of understanding what is it all about, as well as the history behind it. Can you just take us through it?
Thanks very much, Faith. I think I'm not going to speak much because this has been is a sacred practice, cultural practice, that it has been practiced since time immemorial, with its own sole objective that it wants to do a child bringing, upbringing, especially the girls in the older days, even today.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one point to go ahead is that As controllers, as a custodian of cultural practices and tradition, we are aware of what is happening. But then to go deep, I am not going to go too deep in the nitty-gritties of the cultural practice. All what I can say, this is a practice that it has been done in all the old traditional practices, be it AmaZulu, AmaXhosa, AbeSuthu, AmaVenda. It has been practiced across. Now, the objective, it is the same that the so-called people are civilized were uncivilized, that they are attaining to make sure that the kids are safe, especially the girl child, that they want to rescue them from being infected by the diseases, which they are modern style. This has been there since time immemorial. And then the purpose was to safeguard and upbring a girl child in a manner that they are grooming her to be responsible in future, to be a good wife, to know the story. Moreover, it was also a way of preventing the kids from getting the diseases, unnecessarily so. Because the practice was that when we were about to reach a stage of being adult, then there will be some families that will come and pay lobola to you. When we let that kid go away again, we must make sure that she is still intact in a way that it will bring dignity in the family. But I guess the challenge these days is that we are using too much English, a foreign language, to define our culture. That's where the problem starts. For an example, if we use words like virginity testing, if we use words like virginity inspection, the definition of that, how they define those who are speaking English, will not fall within the content of how do we explain, how do we define ukuhlolwa kwentombi. In our view, we'll rather maintain to say ukuhlolwa kwentombi. Even if those who do not know how to pronounce it, they must learn to pronounce it, because it has been our duty also to learn to pronounce their name. So we're totally against the use of virginity testing, virginity inspection. Remain with the word ukuhlolwa kwentombi. Once you ask that word, what is it, ukuhlolwa kwentombi, you will find a different definition, how they define it, as compared to how they define it when they say virginity inspection and virginity testing. But moreover, the objective was to ensure that we protect our girl child, we upbring our girl child in a manner that will be appreciated by the society and the community. For as long as I understand, I've never heard that there are some kids, girls, that have been forced to go to ukuhlolwa kwentombi. It's something that we talk about in our families, and it's something that it has been inculcated in our minds that it is good to this. This is exactly the same when we talk to boys about Landuga male initiation processes.
Mm-hmm.
So even in girls, let alone in the recent past years, the issue of male initiation have gained more prominence other than because of its challenges in recent times, other than the female initiations in Landuga. So it has been going smooth, hence it was not highly publicized in terms of its challenges.
Yeah.
But then,
Prince Tabane, just to interject on that note, you know, and that's why we want to be able to have such an open conversation about it. And simply from the premise of the truth of the matter is, if our indigenous knowledge is not documented, is not narrated in a way where it is out for the understanding of all, it will be misinterpreted. It will be narrated from a Western ideological perspective, right? Because we have to go through the who owns the Western and kind of media formats, right? So we have to be able to debunk, demystify, democratize knowledge systems so that tomorrow when children want to be able to go through this, they're not taking it from the notion of complete ignorance and mystery, that they actually understand the historical context of it. And on that, I actually want to get into it with Kukuletu Nkosi. Now, Kukuletu, I'm just going to ask that you turn down your radio, my darling. I think that I hear echoing.
Apologies about that.
No, that's okay. Don't worry. Now, you've been going through ukuhlolwa since you were, what, 21?
Yes, about 21.
Can you just talk to us about why you made the decision to go through it? I mean, why did you decide, or did you decide that, actually, I want to go through the process of ukuhlolwa?
Yes, I actually did decide. So, I'm in a township called Fort Lewis here in Joburg.
Okay.
So, yeah, and life there is quite fast. So the life there is very fast, and people my age then, when I was a teenager, they were getting pregnant. There was a lot of teenage pregnancy, let me put it like that. There was a lot of teenage pregnancy, and I didn't want that to happen to me. So I decided to take this path because of that. I just wanted to do something different for myself and just preserve myself.
And you're still going through this process at 29?
Even now, yes.
Wow. So if in cultural terms we'd say usese intombi.
Yes, intombito.
Okay. So in the sense that you're saying that you wanted to, you know, not be part of the fast train of girls' teenage pregnancy, of the narrative of, you know, girls being STIs, STDs, and the like. Would we say that you're preserving yourself till marriage?
Initially, that was the plan, but I really don't know if that's where I'll end up. So what I did also was just to talk to God about it. I just asked him to just walk this path with me. I don't know what the end results will be, but so I'll see with you only happy with this.
Sbonakali, so to bring you in here as well, why did you make the decision? Because you were doing it from the age of 16. Was it a personal decision or was it a family encouraged decision? And how did it come about for you?
No, it was my decision. I just decided that, you know what, I'm going to do something that is different. Like Kuku said, there's a lot of teenage pregnancy that is happening. So I just wanted to be different. And also, you know, going through the process of ukuhlolwa is sort of like an encouragement. And each and every year, you see the reason why you should preserve yourself instead of letting go of your virginity. Like, that's what has been happening since I was 16. I'm 21 years old now. I just, each and every year, I see the reason why I should keep myself as a virgin. And I always thank God that he's in this part with me.
Oh. And we're going to talk more. And I'm going to ask you the question. As a parent, as an adult listening, and even maybe as a young woman, what are your thoughts of it? You know, with Prince Thabane saying maybe even the way we're wording it, we need to maybe stick to it being ukuhlolwa kwentombi, which obviously involves, you know, a woman being going through some kind of, well, I don't even know if it's inspection, right? Or to be seen if that, or the preservation methodology of a woman. Would you allow it? Does it preserve the dignity of the woman? Or is it a violation of her human rights? We'll talk some more after this.
Call Faith on 0861-987-000.
We're having a conversation this afternoon about ukuhlolwa kwentombi. That is what we're discussing. The cultural practices and the nuances, the significance of it, the historical context of it. What does it aim to achieve? Is it a protection of a young woman's rights, or actually is it a violation of her rights? What about bodily autonomy for young women? All these kinds of arguments have come into the fold regarding how to navigate this conversation with the sensitivity and the respect to culture as it were. But, and so we figured today, let's get the people who have gone through it, that are going through it. So we don't come from it from a mystery perspective, but we speak from it through the heart of those that are there. Kwanele Mbele, Kwanele, you've been going through this process since you were 9, and you are now 29 years old. Kwanele, I mean, at 9, was it your family that took you through it, or was it you that decided?
Oh, thank you. It was a very young age, like a 9-year-old can actually decide for themselves. Mm. I can say it was a family decision, but as much as it started as a family decision, but we also wanted to be part, because it was our older sisters who were in the practice, but we also wanted to be part of the virginity testing, as young as we were, with a very little understanding of what was going on in there. But we were excited to be part of it. Then, as we were growing up, there was a time where it became a personal decision, where our peers were having sex, were losing their virginities. Then that's where it started to be personal. I decided for myself that, no, I'm going to remain a virgin until I get married. And also for me, it's also an honor to my parents, because I think ukuhlolwa kwentombi for me, it's both from the Zulu culture, and it's also a practice that was adopted by our church, which is the Nazareth Baptist Church.
Gotcha.
Where now the ceremonies that involves ukuhlolwa kwentombi are mostly ceremonies that I do at church.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it any different from the culture side, or have you always been brought up doing it from the church side?
No, it's not different. It's not different, because even our church, it affiliates like a lot on the Zulu culture. So it's the same practice that is done in the Zulu culture. Like, older women will check if you're still a virgin or not.
Got you.
So it's the same practice.
All right. And you are comfortable of taking us in terms of, you know, what happens? How do you then get? Do you get a certificate at the end of the day? Do you? Is there a ceremony to celebrate, you know, the outcomes, for example, of the testing?
Yes. Okay. So at church, mostly the ceremony is done on the 2nd or the 3rd of July every year, where there's a place that will be organized where you all just go there, you get tested. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then if the test is successful, then a white dot will be put on your forehead as a symbol that you're still pure, and a certificate will be given to you, so that everyone can see that this one is still pure. And as proof also, like for people who wouldn't go there with their parents, they'll come back with a white dot and a certificate showing their parents that they're still virgins. And after that, there will be a ceremony where everyone will just see that they're back, and you're given a blessing for that.
Got you. And as you are saying it now, why did you do it? In fact, don't answer that question now. I'll answer it when we come back from the news. We'll talk some more, right? And we're going to also bring in CEO of the Soul City Institute, Fina Khodisang. And I wonder, here's a controversial question for you. Should, given where we are with 1,300 young women being HIV infected every single week, we've spoken about these stats, right? With about 23,000 or so kids between the ages of 10 and 13 and 19 and 25 falling pregnant every year, with the amount of young children falling pregnant, could this not somehow form part of a bigger solution in tackling some of the issues that we're facing as a society? I'd like to hear your thoughts, and I'll take your calls after this.
Urgent, topical, timely. Power 98.7, getting you talking about what matters.
Indeed, that's what we're doing. We're getting you talking about what matters. Today, we're talking about ukuhlolwa kwentombi, or taking a woman through the process of virginity testing, so as it were. And we've said this because some of our ladies are also attesting to it as that being the definition of it. But what do we? Is it misunderstood in terms of its cultural and historical practice? Could this actually be a part of a bigger solution as to solving the issue of teenage pregnancy? And no, I'm not saying it's the only solution. I'm saying it's part of a bigger solution in being able to curb teenage pregnancy or STDs and STIs amongst young children. Is this a solution? Or is it just the violation of the woman's rights? I'm going to welcome into now in this conversation CEO of the Soul City Institute, Fina Khodisang. Fina, you've been listening it from different aspects. The girls who voluntarily did it, except for Okwanele, who then went at nine with the parental kind of guidance into it. But some of the girls have gone through it voluntarily, so as well as a Prince Thabane there from Controlesa. What do you make of it in terms of just where it sits in the history of South Africa, but also in society as a whole?
Thank you. And, you know, listening to everyone, you know, speak, it just confirmed for me as a human rights activist, you know, as a gender activist, that really our societies are patriarchally entrenched, you know, and while we can promote culture and we want to preserve culture, we cannot deny that we live in a democracy guided by a constitution. We can't wish it away. That is our reality. Our reality is that as a South African nation right now, our laws are built from the basis of what the constitution of our country says. And our constitution talks about bodily autonomy, which means you as an individual, you have a right to your body, to do with it, you know, what you would like to do with it, and for no one to dictate how you should, you know, do what you should do with your body, one. But also, we're talking about this subject within a context of a country that is considered, you know, the rape capital of the world, right? We know that we have a pandemic in South Africa, that of rape. And unfortunately, KZN is among the highest in terms of sexual violence. When you look at the minister's report, every quarter you see KZN there, you know, and it features among the highest, Inanda being, you know, always in the stats that we receive. And so when you say, can it be a bigger solution to preventing pregnancy? We are assuming again, and which is the problem we have in this country, that, you know, young women have control over what happens in a country that violation of those bodies is a norm. So when you lose your virginity and you become pregnant through rape, you know, do we consider the harmful practices that are done to your body as a young woman? So while young women like the ones you have on the panel can exercise agency, because we cannot also deny people agency. Agency is when people choose, because that's what the constitution says. You can choose. But for most young women, the choice is taken away. And for me, I stand for those whose choice is taken away, one, because of cultural practices. And as I was listening, I heard most of them want to do it in honor of their parents. So some young women are forced into this to honor the parents. And if you don't, you know, you can even be disowned. And even TV portrays this a lot around how, you know, a bride's pride is put on the basis of your virginity being intact. And a friend of mine, actually, Stan Mons, was asking this, why do we then have to do it publicly? If, you know, why that validation must be done in a public space? Why can't you know privately that I'm intact, if we call it intact? And therefore, why should it be a display in public when there is no scientific basis, you know, in terms of virginity and the removal of the hymen, that, you know, virginity is because the hymen is still intact. We know that different women have different bodies, and therefore some are born without it. You know, the humiliation to the young women, the obsession with the bodies of young women is what I have a problem with.
Yeah, and Prince Tabane, let me bring you into this one then. Young boys, do they get encouraged to remain pure until marriage? Do they get encouraged to preserve themselves, to not be promiscuous, to not have sex before marriage, to honor their parents with their body and honor their spouse that they're going to be married, the woman that they're going to be marrying, with their body as well, you know, in this country more than anything else? Does a boy child actually get encouraged to remain a virgin or to remain preserved for his wife and when they get married?
Currently, as we speak, we are running a program which is called Boy Child Mentoring. It exactly talks to that directly, but it has got its own challenges because of the current situation that we find ourselves in. Mm. But moreover, can I quickly get into the previous speaker who has raised some issues in relation to what we're talking about?
Yes, I want you to get into that very well, very quickly, but I want to understand this. So it's got its challenges, but so but it's, you guys are trying to implement it where boys stay virgins.
Exactly.
Okay,
this is what we are doing in the initiation school.
Yeah.
But this thing is confused because there is a sudden mushrooming of illegal initiation schools. With these lessons, you will not get in the illegal initiation schools. We still have a challenge with those. Those illegal initiation schools is something that was not there previously. So we'll get challenged because people will then say, what is it that you are teaching our boys in the initiation school? It is because of the challenges that have emanated recently. It's exactly the same on the side of the boys, what they are being taught in the issues of Ukusol. But quickly to the point that has been raised by the previous speakers here, it is a pity that we find ourselves in a country which is governed by Eurocentric laws. We have been living communally. We have been doing things communally up until this constitution came and with the issues of individual human rights. That's where the things got wrong. Because even there, it doesn't mean the individual human rights were not entertained previously. It is a pity because some people, some sectors, some communities were not consulted when this constitution was drafted.
Mm.
Hence, today, you will find everybody complaining about the constitution that was imposed on us. I definitely guess if these kind of consultations were done in a manner that will cover everybody, we wouldn't be complaining about the constitution, which is anti-African. The point that has been raised here, that the people would be embarrassed when they do ukuhlolwa kwentombi publicly. It was something that it was there long before. And that the objective, besides being proud, no one would want to be proud about his or her product. For us to be product about our kids, our children, it is us that we have to give them direction so that tomorrow we become proud about them. And like every parent, you will teach your child what is it that needs to happen so that you have a better future. This is the same even in the Western community. They will give guidance. The parental guidance will be there. Which country, which nation would we be guided by the constitution even on matters that would need the parental guidance? Hence, we have challenges. When this is a typical example, we have a constitution that says a child has a right to abort at the age of 12. And that they say you need not to have a parental consent. But at some instances, it will talk about 18 years. but at above 18 years, it's less than 18 years, then a parent needs to have a consent.
Mm.
So this constitution, unless it is reviewed, it will always give challenges.
Can I just introduce yes. a prince? Because you're raising a very pertinent point, and it immediately gives rise in my head around, and you're speaking directly to what Fina, the previous speaker, was just saying, that if a girl, where we know that 10,000 rapes happened between January and March this year alone, if a young girl gets raped, right, does yeah. that young girl, according to culture, is that young girl still considered as a virgin or a maiden, given the context under which the virginity or her virginity was lost? A girl that gets raped, do we still consider her as a maiden, as pure?
Surely we cannot, because something wrong has happened to that girl.
I don't know.
They've done something wrong to that girl. Okay. Therefore, we cannot pretend as if under cultural practices we then say is a maiden. Because the purpose of having them safe, it was for that reason. So that they are not raped, they are not allowed to have sexual intercourse at their early tender ages. So in that specific incident, it's something different that can be not included under what we are talking about. And I've heard again that there was a point to say KZN has got more numbers in terms of rape and whatever. But I'm saying in that province, if this practice was not practiced, that number would have tripled if this ukuhlola kwentombi was not undertaken in the KZN. It was not practiced. Because whether these people would look at a different angle, then they would undermine, as you have indicated, alluded to that effect, because we don't own the media.
Hmm.
Such good cultural practices will always be given an inferior status compared to what they report, because the intention also always would be to say our own cultural practices are not in line with what we are supposed to do. They are not relevant. They are inferior. But I'm saying, because we're that kind of an unfortunate situation, where we have these reports being tabled, you know, whether that it will suit them.
Well, Prince, I want us to just take a breath for me. I want us to be able to go to the phone lines as well. That is particularly very, very interesting. I want to go to the phone lines. Cecilia in Pretoria. Hello, Cecilia. You're listening to the conversation as it unfolds. What do you have to say?
Thank you for taking my call, ma'am. I do agree with the previous two speakers, but we all tell each other that it takes a community to raise a child. So that would include school, that would include the media, that includes basically everything in that environment. So we have to also understand that when we give birth to children, they are going to grow up to be their own people, whether we want them to be doctors or musicians or whatever it is that we want them to be. It's unfair for us to hold them up to that to that image. Whereas they have their own feelings, they have their own this and their own that, their own perceptions of life. We cannot rule, or rather we cannot raise them based on our fears of what might, what could, what may not even happen. It's unfair. And so to when I hear the previous speaker speaking about testing young girls, or young boys, do they, you know, I think it's, there's more than that about the gender. There's more than that. I think it's also about young. It's about children, rather. No, not children, but young people being able to make a decision for themselves. Whether that may be the decision for them at the time or not, who knows?
But I get you 100%, and I appreciate it. That's why I said I also would love young women who are listening in on this conversation as well. Let's talk. I think more than anything else, it's about the body, right? And I'd love to know what you feel more than anything else. What do you feel about it? Thabo and Mamelodi, hi.
Hi, Faith.
Yes, sir. Faith, go ahead.
Let's just take the truth here, because of we don't want to hide behind blaming the women. Our culture has flaws. There are no rules for men when they're getting into a marriage or going into a manhood. There's always rules for women. Mr. Prince must not come to say they're dealing with that. It has never been there. How can you say a 10-year-old is a man just because they come from an initiation school? Faith, I've got a daughter myself. I don't have to take her to any practice to make sure that she's a virgin. If you raise your daughter well, you don't have to worry. This thing says was done because of parents. They want to take their daughters to these residences so that they can be married to the king. That's the only reason that I know. Mr. Peace must not come today. It's been a culture. Yeah, I understand. But nowadays, this place has been done just because of they want to be in the family of royalty. That's the only reason that takes this woman to.
I hear you, Thabo. I'm going to go to Kempton Park. Eugenia, hi.
Hello.
Yes, Mama, go ahead.
You know, I was just about to explode. We cannot, in this day and age, knowing the statistics of this country when it comes to rape and the abuse of women and girls, have a man tell us that the Constitution is wrong when it gives women rights that allow them to make decisions on their body. Can a man really tell women what they can and cannot be doing with their bodies? It cannot be.
Eugenia, I thank you for sharing your thoughts and much appreciated. And I'll continue with that regard. Let me go to Sfiso in Soweto. You've been holding for long. Hello, Sfiso.
Hi, Sisnumzamo.
All
right. I believe where there's dialogue, there's knowledge. And sometimes it gets very, very tense. Now, you asked a question on a situation whereby a girl child has been raped. Look, when we say when a perpetrator has been apprehended, they will say you stole the virginity of this child. Now, unfortunately, in this instance, the girl child cannot attend the ceremony of Yosholwa or have umemulo in that instance. I know it gets heated sometimes. It's an unfortunate part, but the perpetrator has to be dealt with decisively. Yeah, it's all alone. But over and above, this thing, this cultural practice, it's very good. And let's focus on the positive principles rather than negative propaganda.
So your sister is also going to do it?
My sister is going to do it on the 24th of September, umemulo, at Bergville. And I say to her, Halala Ntombazane. She decided to preserve herself and focus on her teenage years. Look, those who did it, those who started sex earlier, those who started sexual intercourse earlier, it's fine. It's their choice. And by the way, these kids are not forced to attend these kind of ceremonies. But they are encouraged. Why? I mean, someone asked the question of why in public? In public is to encourage other girl children that you abstain yourself. There are other benefits when you grow up. Like, instance, when you get married. Now, here's a guy, here's a piece of getting married to this girl who has never been, in Lobola negotiation, I'm going to pay a hefty a fee of this girl who's been so, who abstained from these things and focused on education and her teenage years.
Yeah, so, on that point, Sfiso, then can I interject there? Does that mean that Wena, as a man, do you get encouraged to stay a virgin or to even go for any form of testing? I'm asking because I've never heard of it. If we hear from it today, it will be the first time. But do men get encouraged? Black men, do you get encouraged to actually remain virgins until you get married?
You see, as time goes by, even though they're too bad that they get married, in previous years, that's why they were initiation school for males, whereby they were taught to preserve themselves. And this thing, if it's still focusing more on a girl child right now, a male will won't have a chance of having sexual intercourses because most every girl child has decided to take this route. So who are they going to engage into sexual causes? These males. Mina, I still love the idea of them zibuye lezinto zama initiation school for the boy.
I hear you. Kukuletu, as I said, you've been doing it since you were 21. How do you respond to narratives that it actually perpetuates patriarchy, that it just makes it about the the man, you know, how a man gets to get glory from your virginity and your purity, how your family gets to be the one that's proud and you lose your autonomy and the decision around what to do with your body and when to do with what you want with your body, that it's just patriarchy all over again. How do you respond to that?
I don't respond to it. I actually blocked that out because that's not even the reason why I'm preserving myself on my side. Mm. I did say earlier that I made a decision on my own to take this path. And no one even knew at home that I was going to go. I just went, I did my test, and I came back with the dots and my certificate. Yes, my family was happy. And it's something that I've been doing since then. And for myself, like I said, I'm preserving myself, yes. I did say also that it's not for specifically marriage, but I just asked God to help me with this, and then I will see how this unfolds. So I'd also like just to reiterate or just emphasize rather that we really not forced. It's something that we love. Mm. It's also a beautiful journey. It's so nice when you like with other girls and you sing, and you know, it just also makes the whole journey better. But it's really not that we're forced. So I really, yeah, that's my take on it. I don't even defend myself.
Yeah.
It's what I love, and that's it.
Sponagali, so would you encourage other girls to go through this virginity testing?
Honestly, it has to be your decision. Mm-hmm. It has to be your own preference. It's up to you. It's like any other life decision. It's a decision that has to make you happy. If you're not happy with it, then don't do it. You know, it's like any decision. If you're happy with it, you will do it. If you're not, don't do it. No one has to force you. Unfortunately, there are girls that are forced, but I'm not one of those girls. And I don't think 80% of the girls that are doing it, because most of us, we are really happy on that day because we do it on the 2nd or the 3rd. This year, we did it on the 4th. And most of us were really happy that we're still virgins to show that we are not forced to anything, you know? So it has to be up to you. You don't have to, yes, it is encouraging, but it has to be your decision. You have to be happy about it. It has to be up to you. It has to be your own preference that, you know what, I'm going to be tested every year or almost every now and then. It has to be you. It has to be your own decision. You have to make that decision on your own.
I hear you, Sponagali. Let me go to Mbali in Soweto. Mbali, when you got married, you were a virgin. And you're saying that people actually don't understand how this works. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Cindy, Mama. Go ahead.
I'm good, thanks. I got married at 26. Mm-hmm. And I've never gone through the Ushola process. I would like for people to understand that being a virgin is a personal decision. Keeping a virgin, being a virgin is a personal decision. It's got nothing to do with who must be happy with you. We have so many things that we consider, or I had so many things that I had considered. Number one, I wanted to finish my education. I wanted to have my own house and my own car before I get married. And I just wanted to focus on that because I knew sex is something that I would do later in life when I'm done with the things that I had kept as my priorities. So it had nothing to do with me shying away from being seen as this and that. It was just a decision that I want to do this, and that was it.
I hear you, Mbali, and thank you very much for sharing your experience. Mandisa in Krugersdorp, hi.
Hi, ma'am. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Cindy Mama. Go ahead.
I'm okay, thank you. Okay, just a few pointers. I love the caller that just got off the phone now. Mm-hmm. First of all, I wanted to highlight that there's a moral disintegration in our societies whereby we are not given values that uphold, purity. In a sense that families are disintegrating and whatnot. So we find that our children end up, you know, just loose and drinking alcohol and getting all sorts of trouble. Now, that is one of my, like, key problems with our society, like, right now as it stands. And then secondly, I just wanted to point out that, you know, it shouldn't just be one-sided thing that that you know, as Prince is saying, that the girls are prepared. What about the boys? Because we are not having that conversation about the boys. It's a society of both men and women. And if you're taking care of one side, then you're upsiding the whole structure, like the whole system of humanity, in that the boys will then feel entitled to do the things that they're not supposed to do, especially sexually.
I hear you, Mandisa, and we're going to continue and get closing remarks from our guests after the news. But I do thank you. I see that I've got no more space in my phone lines, but keep calling. We'll try to take as many calls as possible.
12 to 3 p.m. Power Lunch with Faith Mangope.
We're going to be wrapping up. We've got our guests, we're speaking about it. It's not even more than anything else. It's learning and understanding cultural practices and the norms still exist within our South African context. And we're doing so with Kwanele Mbele, Sponagaliso Zakwe, Prince Manene Tabane, Afina Khodisang, and of course you on 0861-987-000. Let me go to Busisiwe and Brakpan before I go to my guest. Hi, Busisiwe.
Hi, Faith. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks to you, Mama. Go ahead.
Well, I started virginity testing at the age of 18.
Okay.
Until I was 30 in 2019. That's when I got married. So it's a big positive for me because it's prevented me from so many things, from your HIV, from your teenage pregnancy, and it's groomed me to be the woman that I actually am today. So I was never forced, but I was supported by my entire family. My mom is Zulu, my dad is Swati, mm-hmm. So there's nothing foreign. It's part of my culture. So I embraced it, and it's actually worked out for me. So people should rather get more information on the cultural practice, you know, there's nothing negative about it, you know. So different strokes for different folks. So if a person does not believe in that, nobody's forced to, you know, do what works for you.
Would you encourage your young girl to do it? If you had children, would you encourage your young child to do it?
Definitely. And you know, I have nieces and nephews that are actually interested in it, and I do encourage them, you know. From way back, this thing of having multiple partners and stuff, so got like various reasons why I actually did it. So, you know, it also goes hand in hand with my Christian belief. So,
I got you. I got to run, ma'am. But how Helen Greenstone, how?
Hi, Otis, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, and you, sir. Go ahead.
I'm well, thanks. You know, it's a good practice. It should be promoted, but I appreciate the not being able to be answered for what happens to the children that didn't choose to lose their virginity. So there's a stigmatization for Wanyana is not a virgin, is dirty. But we should move from that, because I, as a man, a caller said that no, we're not men, we're not told. We're not told to preserve yourself. We're not told to respect a woman. You, as a man, must take it upon yourself, because these young virgins, and they do not sleep alone. And we should, God, you said, yes, go get tested or whatever the case may be. But if we're going to stigmatize it, they are dirty, you know, that's where I've got a problem. Because it beats the whole purpose of being a virgin, of preserving yourself. But now it pushes them away to even more darkness. We should move away from stigmatizing Banyana Basing virgins, and also boys. And it's just unfortunate that we as men cannot be tested for, okay, the virgin or still a virgin. And the very same men that sleep with this woman, another man that will say that now I want to marry ETG. It's wrong.
I hear you, Khawkhelo, but that's why we need to be able to have all sides of that story deliberated on, from the girl's side to the gender activists to you, so that it's not just one-sided, but it really is a collective. And this is what it was. It was a conversation, right? It was a collective conversation where we got to hear all sides of it. And I think at the end of the day, we make our decisions in terms of what we want for our own lives and the lives of our children. And it's just about being happy with the decisions that we're making. but also paying into mind that in a patriarchal society where women are historically, systematically, economically and institutionally designed to be less than, how then do we do away with those injustices that continue to exclude women within the table of progress and discourse? So all of this comes in with how, what kind of a country do you want to build? What kind of woman do you want to have? And more importantly, what do we say about patriarchy that has continued to be an indoctrination and an oppression amongst our women? That's why we bring it up. This is where we have to leave it, unfortunately. We've got no more time. Fina Khodisang, I thank you so much, as always, from the CEO of the Soul City Institute. Kwanele Mbele, thank you so much for sharing your story. Sibonakali Sozakwe, thank you so much for sharing your story. Prince Manene Tobane, always a pleasure hearing your insights as well. What am I leaving out? Oh, Gugule Tunkosi, thank you so much for sharing your story as well. Let's keep talking. It doesn't stop, doesn't it?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.